So today's daf is Kuf Yud Zayin, and we got to the bottom of Kuf Tes Zayin and Beis, that Mishnah. So the Mishnah records the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about what happens when a woman who's believed to say that her husband dies in that situation. What does that mean? So Beis Shammai Omrim Tinasei V'Titaksubasa. Two things happen when she says, and we believe her, that her husband died. It's talking about a situation where there is Shalom Beino Beino and Shalom Ba'olam. So she comes back all alone, saying her husband died. So she's believed to get remarried and to collect her ksuba, says Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim Tinase Vlositak Ksubasa. Nope, she only has a heter to get married, but to collect her ksuba, she has no right to do that. We don't trust her with respect to the ksuba. So Amulam Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, Hatartam Erva Chamur Lo Natir Mamun Hakal. So you permitted something more serious, more severe. You permitted Ashes Ish based on her Nemanis, but you're not willing to permit Mamanis to let her collect her $200 of Ksuba? Doesn't make any sense. So Amr Lehem Beis Hillel responds back, Matsinu, we have such a concept, She'en Ha'achem Nichnasim L'Nachla Alpia. What do you mean? Just like by the Nachla, the wife says that her husband dies. So we don't go ahead and say the estate is now free to be taken by the brothers. We don't allow that to happen. So Rashi says, She'ein ha'achin nichnasim l'nachla shabayla alpia. Based on her testimony, the brothers can't collect the estate. The Rachman Amar, the Torah says, Al pi shnayim edim, says the Torah, Legabe nesu'in dida hu dakidir banan mishim iguna. Only with respect to her marriage, we don't want her to be in iguna, to be stuck, we let her get married. But with respect to dina mamanus, the pasuk says, Al pi shnayim edim, you need two edim. She's not two edim, so we don't trust her with regards to mamanus. So just like we don't allow the brothers to collect from the estate based on her testimony, so too we don't allow her to collect the ksuba from the estate based on her testimony.
The brothers collecting from their father's estate, right? Well, they wouldn't be Yorish Hem.
If there's no father, they would, yeah. If he had no children and no father, then the brothers are next.
So you meant his estate that the brothers would be.
Right. So Amru Lem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says back, Halo, Misefer Ksuba, Numachu Kosivla. But don't we learn, making a drush of the language of the ksuba that writes, Shim tinasi la'achar tili masher kasalichi? But there's a mefurish text in the ksuba that says, if one of the conditions are, if you get married to somebody else, you're allowed to collect the ksuba. So she goes ahead and gets married to somebody else. Now, I'm not sure if it means if she actually gets married to somebody else or if she just has the permission to get married to somebody else. So Rashi says, Kishitinise la'achar v'hari nise. It has to be once she gets married, then she's allowed to collect the ksuba. So it's clearly the text of Ksuba allows her to collect it. So with response to that, Chazu Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, I write a very good proof. You bring a drasha from the language of the Ksuba. I agree. If she does get married, she's allowed to collect the Ksuba. But before she gets married, there is no heta to collect the Ksuba, at least according to Rashi's understanding. I don't know if anybody argues on that, though. Second. Okay, there's some interesting discussion in the Achronim here, Avnei Melum, and the Kobi Taharos on the bottom here. They discuss a situation that the Avnei Melum writes that once Beis Din gives the heter for her to get married, so then she's allowed to collect the suba, once the heter comes from Beis Din. But the Kobi Taharos, or Vachon Vassaman, writes that's not true. It's not enough that Beis Din has to be matir to get married. It's only a situation where it's clear in Shemayim that's mutter to get married. I'm not quite sure what that means. I don't know a situation where not only basing gives a heter, but it's clear in Shemayim. I don't know how to read the mission here. I'm not going to spend time on it. Okay. Fine. So Gemara says, now, Amar Rav Chisda, Nisyabna Yivama Nichnas L'Nachla. Okay. Up here. So we said already, once she testifies that her husband dies, the estate is untouched. But let's say she performs Yivam with one of the brother-in-laws, the Yavam. So then that Yavam does enter into the estate and he collects the brother's Nachla, based on her word. Not simply her testimony, but simply by performing Yibam. Why? What's the basis? Heim Darshu Medrash Ksuba. The Mishnah, Beis Shammai Darshin the Ksuba, the language of the Ksuba. Anilo Nidrash Midrash Torah. So we don't have the right to make a Drasha and Mefurish Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? Yokum Al Shem Achiv, and he should continue the name of his brother. The Hare, Amar Rahmana, Hare Kam, and he did. Torah says he, Yakum al Shem Achiv Amar Rachmanav Hare Kam, and the Yavam entered into the shoes of the brother, the deceased brother, so he's allowed to collect the Nachla. So So that's the drasha based on the pasuk. Okay. So Amar Rav Nachman Basel based in. So let's say she comes to the Bezdin Vamar and she says the following: Meis Bali Hitirani Lihinase. My husband died. Permit me to get married. Matirinoso Lihinase. We permit her to get married. And Venosin Lach Subaso. In accordance with Beishamai and Beisil, now who agrees to Beishamai, we also give her an added bonus. She gets her ksuba back as well. Let's say she comes to Bezdin and says, Tanuli Ksubasi, come out, give me my ksuba. After Lihinase in Matirinoso. Even to let her get married, we don't allow her. She's clearly coming for the mamonis. The only reason why we allow for the mamonis to take place is because it's piggybacking off of the ikker heter of getting married. But if her ikker intention is to collect the money, then there's no heter not only to get the money back, but she doesn't even have the heter to get married. My taima. Adaita de ksuba asi gemara says, since she asked for the ksuba, her clear intentions were for the mamon. There's no real heter in the mamon. Mamon only comes based on the heter of the nisuin. Then the gemara asks, let's say she asks Ibailu, Hatiruni lehinase vitinuli ksubasi. She says both. She says, let me get married and let me collect my ksuba. Mahu, what's the halacha in that case? Kaman damar ksuba adaita de ksubasi. Since she mentions ksuba, even though she also mentions nisun, but since she does mention ksuba, clearly her intentions are not 100% pure, and we don't allow her to do either one, it sounds like, either ksuba or to get married. O dilma kol mili di islai linchit nish amarlahu the bedina. She says everything possible. She just says, give me everything. So Rashi explains here, Kol Mili, the Inish, V'ikr Adaita Dinusun Asa, V'sharina La. Really, she comes to get remarried. V'chevin da sharina la, shaklanami ksuba, de misaper ksuba nilmud. She just says everything that she's possibly to get, all the heterim, all the different things she's going to get out of this, but even though she mentions a ksuba, her real intention is nisun. That's the shaila. When she mentions both, could we really separate her statement? He says.
That's part of the list.
Oh, of imtim salamar, the brackets imtim salamar, komil di isla nish amar lahu lebedina. If you're going to say that, she's going to say everything. We really do believe her. Once she says both, she just says everything that she's going to get. But let's say she says tenuli ksubasi v'tiruna lihinasi. She says the other way around. First she mentions ksuba, and then she mentions let me get married. Then now she's starting to sound a little bit more fishy. Mahu, what's the lacha in that case? Since she mentioned ksuba first, clearly her intentions, her ikker intentions at least, are in the ksuba, and we do not permit either way. Or maybe she doesn't know how it works. She doesn't know how the system works. She just mentions ksuba, mentions marriage. She isn't trying to create it. She doesn't have any systematic way of presenting her case. She's just mentioning everything. It happens to be she mentions ksuba first. So what's her real ikker intentions? Take it, the Gemara doesn't really know how to analyze her statement. And the Gemara leaves it at that. Okay. So then the new Mishnah tells us, Hakol ne'emanu l'ha'ida, everyone's believed to testify about her that her husband died. Chutz, there are a few exceptions that may not testify that her husband died. Who are they? Michamaso, her mother-in-law. We don't trust her mother-in-law to testify that her own son died. Because she will read through Rashi, but she doesn't really like the daughter-in-law so much, as we'll see. And she's trying to have her daughter-in-law get remarried, even though she's really asked to get remarried. Ubas Chamoso, also the daughter of her mother-in-law, which is her husband's sister, her sister-in-law. Also, they don't get along. Vitarasa, her co-wife. She and her the co-wife were married to the husband. Vivamata, and her brother-in-law's wife. So her husband's brother's wife. Right, husband's brother's wife. That sister-in-law.
That's fascinating because she's going to give testimony that the guy's dead. Because she hates this woman, thinking she may end up marrying her husband, and by doing so, enabling her to marry her husband, only so she could trip her up, so that she'll ultimately be found to be a sota, and then have to be asik. Like, the whole reason for her hatred is because of the fact that she doesn't want this woman to end up with her husband.
No, that's not the reason why. I thought the reason, as we're seeing Rashi, I think it's mamonis issues.
We'll see Rashi. I should remember from Gittin.
So let's see, okay. And then Ubas Baila, the daughter of her husband, so a stepdaughter. And okay. And then, so before we read the last line of the Mishnah, the Rashi reads as follows. Vivamta, so why don't we trust her sister-in-law, her husband's brother's wife? Eshes Yavama, the wife of her Yavama, of the Yavam. The time of the Kula, the reason is, Mipneshes Sonos Osa, Umiskabnos Lekalkilkla. They all hate them. They all hate her, and they want to have her to trip up. Chamosa sonasa, her mother-in-law hates her. Sheomeres biliba zu tochal kol yigiv amali. I'm working so hard, and this Dorla Cummings takes all my money. She wants every single piece of jewelry and dress and everything, wiping out all my money. V'chein bas chamosa, so to her mother-in-law's daughter or her husband's sister. Omeres zu tirish kol amal avi v'imi v'ani etcha. So the sister, poor daughter, she's sitting there nothing, and she sees her sister-in-law getting all the profits, everything, from her parents. The parents work so hard, they're working all day, both hard workers, and all the money goes to the sister-in-law. So the sister-in-law hates her as well. Vivamta, so this is the case, why does the husband's brother's wife hate her? Yira shema sofa leo sarasa, this is what you were saying, because she might end up being a co-wife, because if her... the woman's husband dies, so then the Yavam is going to marry her, and she's going to be a co-wife with Yivamta, so you're right. So, just because of that. So now your question is, so now let's say that again.
It's not a question, it's just like just a pointing out. Human psychology. She hates her so much because she has fear she'll end up being her co-wife, and she gives testimony about her that's false, that will now enable her to be her co-wife, so she's going to live as her co-wife. Just as it will subsequently trip her up at a later point when he returns. You see how blind people are with their hatred. You know,
she'll never have that. She'll be free of that worry.
She'll be free of that worry. But she's inviting that issue on her for a period of time. It's amazing.
I guess so. It's a good horror. And then finally, Rashi says, "Bas Baila, the stepdaughter, Zuba b'makom imi v'chalas kolamali." Your sister, so the stepdaughter, is not going to be very pleased with her new stepmother, and you know, taking all her father's money and stuff. So it's going to be a lot of hatred. So these people, this total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals, we don't trust to testify about the death of a husband. And the last line of the Mishnah says, "Ma bein get limisa sheksav mochiach." What's the difference between get and death? That the get is written down. The writing is clear proof. So
you wouldn't trust even if two of them came?
Even if two of them came. That's a good question. If two of them came, I don't know if...
That changed the, you
know... I would guess not, because maybe you could think they're trying to work together and conspire to create... So probably not.
And we said if 100 women is like 1/8. Yeah. So it's not like there's any more koch and emunah with them. It's
right.
Like one.
So then look at Rashi, what this last line of the Mishnah means. The Mishnah seems a bit random, mentioning the difference between get and misa. So Rashi explains, ma ben get la misa, d'amar b'parak beis de gittin, af ha-nashim she'en ne'manos lomar meis baila, even though these five women are not believed to say that the husband of this woman died, ne'manos lahavi gita mibidinas hayam, they are believed to say that to be messengers to bring this get that they received from the husband from overseas. Why? Even though we're trusting them, shouldn't we be concerned that maybe making this whole thing up? So since they have to mention that, Rashi continues, we don't really trust them. We really trust what's written in the get. Happens to be what they say, we just believe them that they're bringing the get. But it's really the ksav that allows her to get remarried and that she's free, she's single. That's why it's different. We believe them by a get, but we don't believe these five women when it comes to testifying about a death. Gemara asks, bas chameha mahu. What about the daughter of her father-in-law? And Rashi explains, bas chameha she'enu bas chamosa mahu. It's not the daughter of her mother-in-law. It's only the daughter of her father-in-law. It's a half-daughter, half-sister, rather, of her husband from the father's side. What's his story? So taima de bas chamosa, the reason why the daughter, the sister, we don't trust her, mishum deika ema desanile hinami sanile. Because mother and daughters get along very nicely. So if the mother-in-law is going to hate her, then certainly the daughter, who's his sister-in-law, is going to hate her also, because the mother and daughter have a special relationship with each other. But in this case, about the half-brother, rather, the half-brother does not share the same mother, so there won't be any hatred here by the half-brother mitzad the father. Odilma, or perhaps, taima de bas chamosa, maybe the reason why the daughter of the mother-in-law hates her, she's eating all my mother's food and profits and estate. So here too also, the father-in-law's daughter says she's eating all the property of the Bein Nisai. So what's the Bein Nisai? So Rashi explains, even though this woman's not eating all the food from the mother, We'll ignore that for now. So what's the situation here? Bein Asa is talking about that the...
So I thought it was just the father. What's
Bein Asa? It's just Bein Asa is usually like the son-in-law, I thought. That's what Bein Asa there is?
No,
it's got that. Oh. Let's see. Someone took the article in there, I guess?
Yep.
Oh boy. They put cameras in. Okay, I mean, it doesn't mean son in law, but I guess the idea is it's taking the food from my father, so that's why she's concerned. She's taking all my father's food. So that's the question. Is it because of a special relationship that this daughter has with her mother, and only if it's a mother-in-law? Or even if the father, because eating up all the food? So that's the shayla. Gemara doesn't have an answer yet. So Gemara brings a raya, Tashma, Hakol Neman Lahaida Chutz Mei Chamesh Nashim. Everyone's believed to testify about a man who dies to permit his wife to get remarried, except for five. As we listed in the Mishnah, there are five women who we don't trust. Now, Vim Yisav, it's true that the daughter of a father-in-law should be included. Shishavin, it should be a total of six. So the fact that we say five and only five tells us that we would believe the daughter of a father-in-law. Where it says, what do you mean? Dilma taima de bas chamos damer kach l'girsanim. De beinasa loshna bas chamosa loshna bas chamer. What do you mean? Maybe the daughter of the father-in-law was included in the bas chamosa because it's the same reasoning as before of eating up on taking, getting rid of all the, liquidating the estates. Okay, so Gemara says, wait a second, if that's the case, if you're going to suggest that really bas chama was included in bas chamosa, so Vahan and Tanan, don't we have a Mishnah that tells us, chutz me sheva nashim, there were except for seven women. So that, what are we suggesting there? So this would seem to include that the bas chama and that Mishnah, we're not sure what the other two are, but seemingly one of the two is going to be bas chama. So in that Mishnah, it says bas chama is counted separately in bas chamoso. And the fact that our Mishnah does include only five, not six or seven, tells us that bas chama is not going to be on the list. It won't be included in bas chamoso. Gemara says, no, that Mishnah is referring to a different two. Einach nami bas chama is included under bas chamoso. The seven have another two, who's the opinion of Hahi Rabbi Yehudahi, the Tznan, Yehuda Mosif Af Eishes Av Vakala. He adds two more, the wife of the father, in other words, her stepmother, and the Kala and the daughter-in-law. So if she has a son who married, so that daughter-in-law is going to want to make her mother-in-law trip up. But when it comes to Bas Chama, Einachanami, it's going to be included under Bas Chamosa. So continuing in this Mishnah that we just quoted, Amru Lo, so the Chum respond back to Rehuda, who adds on these two more, Eishes Av, Harehi Bichlal Bas Habal. So the wife of the father, in other words, the stepmother, is no different than the daughter of the husband, the stepdaughter. It's the same thing. It's a step. It's not really a relationship. It's going to be the same type of concern. And kala harei b'chal chamosa. So to a daughter-in-law, it's no different than a mother-in-law. It's the same relationship, just a different direction. One's going up, one's going down. It's the same idea. It's included all together. So there's no need. So in other words, the Chum agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, the concept that these two women are also not going to be believed, but they're ready. You don't need to mention them separately because it's included in those that are mentioned. So it sounds like from this mission, I guess, though. Okay, let's leave it at that for now. So Rabbi Yehuda, Bishma Chamosa, Sanile Lekala, and Damri Kachli Legirsana. I understand the mother-in-law hates her to the daughter-in-law. The mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law because she's going to eat up all the, get rid of all the money. Elakala my time of son in the chamosa. But why is the daughter-in-law hate the mother-in-law? Bishma basabal the son in the av. I understand why the stepdaughter, her husband who's now possibly deceased, the stepdaughter hates her stepmother. The son in the av. She hates her father's wife. The amra kachle the gisani dame. She's getting rid of all the money. Elakala av my time of son in the basabal. But why does this woman possibly hate her stepdaughter? So Ella, my Mosif Tarti. So what are we coming to add? What are the two that we're coming to add? Elakala my taima sanir lechemo. Says, why does the daughter-in-law hate the mother-in-law?
I think it's.
Am I most of tarte?
Yeah, I think in other words, you wouldn't. He's arguing back to the rabbanon. You wouldn't be able to learn those two out because it's not logical that they should hate each other in the same manner that it is the other angle, you know, the other side.
Let's read that Rashi. Rashi Elamai Mosif. Rashi around eight narrow lines up. He says, "Kevin de'ain la alma the sano." Since there's no basis to hate them, chamosa to hate her mother-in-law. Amai chamosif la Rabbi Huda lomar eino nemanis. Why does Rabbi Huda include that kala shouldn't be believed? And the Gemara is going to answer. I'll just read this in Rashi for a second. Mishani the time of the Rabbi Huda kala sani la the chamosa mishum de megala levra mila ala. Because she's going to tell her son all the different things. Let's read that in Gemara now. So what are we saying right now? So we're trying to figure out why Rabbi Huda, I think, adds these two. That's why. Why did Rabbi Huda add these two? So, Elakala my time, Asani and Chamosa. Why does the daughter-in-law hate the mother-in-law? The Megala Levna called Avda, because the mother-in-law keeps telling on the daughter-in-law to her husband. You know, she says to her son, you know, your wife, Dina, keeps doing this and that. And she's creating all this fighting. And when it comes to Aisha's Av, Namisana Labasa Baal, why does the stepmother hate the stepdaughter? The Megala Avia called Avda, because the stepdaughter keeps telling her father about what the stepmother does to her. So that's the different reasons why Rabbi Yehuda counts these two separately. But Rabbanan Kemaim Hapanim, this is a pasuk that's found in Mishnah, Kemaim Hapanim Lapanim, Kain Lev Ha'adam La'adam. So, how are we applying this? Rashi explains, this is the last two narrow lines, Rabbanon Kamayim Panim Lepanim, Kruksiv Kamayim Panim Lepanim. The water faces, you know, facing one to the next. Kamayim Halalu Sha'adam Sofa Behen, like the water that a person anticipates, V'roa Behen Panim Kamanim, you see the reflection of a person's face. Imhu Shochek Haim Shochos, Imhu Okim Hu Alkmos, it responds, it reflects. Kain Lev Ha'adam La'adam Ha'achas, so to a person's heart, emotions, feelings. It's going to reflect how you treat a person is going to be the way you treat you back. So you're right, there might not be a basis for a daughter-in-law to hate her mother-in-law and a stepdaughter to hate her mother or stepmother. But since they're going to be treated by the one, the opposite, they're going to retreat them back that same exact way. So that's what Rabbanan is saying. That's why you include the mother, the daughter-in-law and the stepdaughter in the ones that I already mentioned. That's not talking about a person's feelings, relationships. It's talking about Torah. Explains Rashi b'divrei Torah k'siv. Lefi panim uvlev shata nosin the Torah libcha omei lecha lamid girsa. According to the face, the feeling, the emotions, the strength you put into learning Torah, that how much depending how much you put into it, that's how the lamid girsa. That's going to help you remember much better. Im yigata ba Timatze, Gemara Megillah, he quotes, if you're going to put effort in, you're going to do your Giyah and Amelis, then you're going to find it. You're going to remember, im lo yagat, if you're not going to put any effort, lo timta, you won't find it. Lashon Acher, im Rabba, maspi lo panim, hu machim vim lav, einu machim Rabba. I think it's Gemara in Erevin, maybe. That a Rebbe shows master panim. It's not simply about learning. It's also about having a relationship, and in these days, more so than in the past, the relationship is more important. Not more, but it's getting more important. The more sefer panim the Rebbe gives the student, the wiser, the stronger the feeling he's going to get, he's going to feel loved, it's going to make him more open to learning. So very interesting ideas when it comes to learning Torah, but that's what it has to do with nothing about the relationship with a person. It's a very interesting psychological discussion, very interesting discussion in education as well. Okay. We're now at the bottom of the page. Amarev Acha Bar Avia Ba'u B'marava in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they ask the following question. Chamosa Haba La'achar Mikan Mau. Let's say there's a mother-in-law that's going to come after the fact. Right now, she doesn't serve as a mother-in-law, but it's possible she will turn into the mother-in-law. Is it possible she can anticipate being the mother-in-law? Do we not trust her right now, or only once she becomes the mother-in-law is she not trusted? But now, even though there's potential for her to become the mother-in-law, then even now we won't trust her. That's the Shiloh. So Rashi explains the situation here. I'm not sure if it's so clear. Rashi writes, Chamosa habal la'achar mikan mahu. Im yivama.
Aim yivama.
Ain? Oh, aim. Aim Yavama, the mother of the Yavama, okay?
Lo Aim Bala.
The Lo Aim Bala.
She's going to be the mother-in-law if she gets married to this brother. It's because it's his paternal brother that's who she's going to fall in between. She's going to fall to. And the testimony she's giving is about this guy's husband. She's not related. The mother-in-law will become the mother-in-law, but she's currently not related to her.
Say that again?
Sarah is married to Avram.
Okay.
Right? Avram... brother's mother but it's not Avraham's mother.
Okay.
So it's going to be her mother-in-law should she go through with the Yibum.
Uh-huh, okay,
but
I see.
It's not her mother-in-law right now because Avraham and his brother are only paternal brothers. They're not maternal brothers.
Uh-huh.
So does she have sinna towards her the same way her own current mother-in-law has sinna towards her?
So she tests if the mother-in-law, who, if the mother, rather, testifies that Avraham, who they're not related to, testifies that Avraham is dead, so now Avraham's widow, Sarah, will marry her son. So she'll become the chamosa. Will we trust her in that case? So the Gemara says, "Ma, what's the lacha? Mi maska daita de meis baal v'nafle kami yavam v'sanile? Will she anticipate really that the husband's going to die and she's going to become the yavam and therefore her daughter-in-law and that she hates her, and we shouldn't trust her, although or not?
Just the prospect of her becoming her daughter-in-law is enough to create hatred for her.
Right.
That's really crazy.
Yeah.
More crazy in the other case.
I mean, by the Yavama,
I mean, they won't be living together, so it's not quite as, you know,
by the Yavama, she's concerned she'll become her tsar. Here, it's she'll be concerned that she'll become her daughter-in-law. Right? The hatred is already stirring for the fact she may become her daughter. Maybe, because it's not.
Do we assume behind all this that there's already a relationship that's not good? Or do we just say, theoretically, I just don't want this to happen?
It's a good question. They're not. The Gemara seems to assume many places that the daughter-in-law and mother-in-law relationship was a bad one.
Right.
That seems to be the assumption. Now, it's not every case. It's probably most cases. But then the Gemara assumes there's a bad relationship in the first place, a lot of tension. And interesting that the Gemara assumes many places that the son-in-law and mother-in-law was a great relationship. The point where the Gemara says, be careful of your first son-in-law, between your own wife and your son-in-law, which I don't think is the case nowadays. But, okay. So says the Gemara, Tashma. Top of the page, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Tashma, Amra, Meis Bali, V'chakach Meis Chami, Tinase V'titel Ksuvasa, Ksuva, V'chamosa Asura. So what's the case? So a woman comes back and says, my husband died. And then she says, my father-in-law died. So she's allowed to get remarried, and she's allowed to collect the ksuba. But her mother-in-law is not allowed to get married because we don't trust her with respect to her mother-in-law status. My time, chamosa asura. Why is a chamosa asura? La mishum damrinan lo baila meis v'lo chama meis. Is it not that we don't say, we say that her husband died and her father-in-law, we don't trust her to say that the husband died and then the father-in-law died. But didn't we just say she can collect the ksuba? And how does this fit into the case of the mother-in-law? We're going to need help Adam to figure out the case here. How this is the case of anticipated mother-in-law. There's a Rashi here.
Probably go through Rashi.
So Rashi says, Amra meis bali v'achakach meis chami. She says that my husband died and my father-in-law died. Rabusa Ashminin, there's a chiddush here. Da'avagav da'amra b'reisha meis bali, even though she initially says my husband died, v'nimtza she'ein zu chamosa, and turns out, and once she said her husband dies, she's no longer attached to that family. It's no longer her mother-in-law anymore. V'reihi la kinachu, she's now just a single person. Afil hachi lo mehemne ad amra meis chami v'chamosa asur, and she's not believed to say that her father-in-law dies, even though right now she's no longer a father-in-law. My time, says Rashi, halav chamosi. What's the reason that it's not the mother-in-law anymore? El mishum damri hachlav baila meis. We say that her husband really didn't die. By dying zu chamosi, we still view the mother-in-law as being the mother-in-law of lochameh meis, and we can't trust her to say that the father-in-law died. Vizu kolasa miskavna lekalkla. And this, we assume that the daughter-in-law is trying to make her mother-in-law trip up. Valvagad the hashtu hare benoshal zeb beminas hayam. Vein imo yetzlo, the daber lo al kolasa, devarim raim. Afilachi maska kala daita. Even though the husband's not around. And the whole reason why the daughter-in-law is being hated by the mother-in-law is because the husband, the son, who's the husband and the son, he keeps going back and forth and she tells the son all the bad things about the daughter-in-law, even though that's not happening anymore. Because the husband's going to return back. So we're just viewing this case as we don't anticipate the next stage. So just like here, we don't anticipate the next stage that they're no longer going to be the mother-in-laws, so we don't trust them. So too, in the previous case, we don't view the next stage as becoming the mother-in-law. We view them as a right now. And currently, she's not the mother-in-law in our initial case, so we do trust her in that case. I think that's what he's saying.
But in this case, it could be that the mother-in-law had already been saying things to the son prior to his departure. So
they already have that built-in hatred. Yeah, it's not about what's going to be. It's about their tension already exists. Okay, the Gemara says, so again, my time achamosa aser. So why do we say the mother-in-law is still aser? Shouldn't we trust her? And there's no longer a daughter-in-law anymore. We should trust her. La mishum damrina lo baila meis v'lo chama meis. We don't think that the husband's not dead. We don't think that the father-in-law is dead. V'ad de kamri hachi l'kukulu l'chamosa. She's trying to make her mother-in-law trip up. D'mechabne. Savr l'basa shaita lo tisi titztarin. D'ma shani savr l'basa shaita lo tisi titztarin. This part of the svar still.
Right, because you should say that when he returns.
Right. He continued to talk about give the tzaras to her. So Gemara says, no, maybe Dilma shiny hasam derugish latzara. Maybe there's different. Rashi says, I think what you explained. Rashi explains, derugish latzara kvar hirgisha kala zubitzar shimitar techamosa. She already feels the pain. The tension's already there. There's no one doing that. The sinna yeshena, it already exists. It's already old. Aval b'chamosa lachem ikan shemeolam lo ha'isa chamosa lo metuf. In the case where she wasn't the mother-in-law yet, there was never this tension yet. So then we maybe can trust her, even though she's anticipating becoming the mother-in-law. Every mother-in-law thinks they're going to be the best mother-in-law. Everyone thinks that. I'm going to be the best mother-in-law, and she's going to be the best daughter-in-law, until they actually get married, and then things go sour. But once you already experience it, even though it's going to end the relationship, we don't trust her anymore, because the hatred already exists. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now, Eid Omer Meis V'Nisseis Uba Echad B'Mar Lo Meis. So one aide says that the husband died, and she goes ahead and gets married. And then another aide comes along and says, no, by the way, your husband never died. Hareza lo teitze. We don't say you have to get divorced from the second husband because it's one aide versus another aide. Aide omer meis, vishnaim omer lo meis. An aide says your husband died, and two aides said that your husband did not die. Afa pishanisis, even though she may have gotten married already, teitze, she has to get divorced because the two aides trump the one aide. Shnaim omer meis, two say the husband died. Veid omer lo meis, one aide says he did not die. Even if she didn't get married yet, she's allowed to get married because the two eidim, of course, beat out the one eid. So Gemara explains, time of dinaseis, only because she got married in the first case, where one eid said she could get married, you're allowed to get married, she gets married, and then another eid says your husband didn't die, she's allowed to stay married. Only because she got married do we allow her to stay married. But halonises, but if she never got married based on the eid echad's testimony, lo tinase lichachila, she cannot get married. Even if another aide didn't come yet, I think. Just stop. One aide coming along. But don't we say wherever the Torah believes one aide, and this is one of the instances we believe one aide, we view them as the strength of two aidim. And another aide that's going to come along cannot knock out two aidim. So the first aide who says that he dies, which we trust one aide in that respect, he has the power of two. So one aide can knock against two. So Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. Eid Echad Omer Meis. One aide says that the husband died. And we permit her to get married. Uba Echad V'Amar Lo Meis. And another aide comes along and says he didn't die. Lo Teitze Meheter Rishon. We do not remove the first heter. We still keep the first one. So it's not about, initially the Mishnah thought, the Gemara thought the Mishnah said only if she got married, she mamish got married, is she allowed to stay married. But if she didn't get married, and there's a contradiction of the two Eidim, one versus one, we would not allow her to get married. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean she actually got married. It means the heter to get married. Once one aid says she's allowed to get married, she's allowed to get married. Even if another aid comes along and says she's not allowed to, we trust the first aid because the first aid is viewed as two Eidim, and that heter still exists. It's only if another two Eidim come along can they knock out the one aid. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Eid Omer Meis. If one aid says that he died. Eid Omer Meis, sorry, Pshita, Dein Dvarav Shelechar B'Makum Shnayim. So it's Pashit that one aid has no bearing in the face of two aidim. So which stage is this going on?
The middle stage. He said that she has to get divorced. And if two aidim come and say he's dead, then he's alive after one said she died.
Uh-huh. So if one case, Gemara says, if one came along, then one doesn't mean anything. Lo tzicha b'psulei edus. We're talking about psulei edus. Uchad Rabbi Nechemia. The Tanya Rabbi Nechemia Omer. So he holds that whenever the Torah believed one aid, we follow the number of people that are there. So look at Rashi for a second, just to get the context here better. Aid Omer Meis. One aid says the husband died. Ubo Aidim, and two Aidim come Vamru Lomeis. Pshita Demode Ula Lagave Tre Chashiv Kechad. Ubatel. Velo Aminon Tre Tre Ninu. So it's certain we view the two new Aidim as one, and we knock them off, and we don't say it's Tre against Tre. Why is that so clear? If two come along, we view them as one.
I think the pshita, I mean, the way Rashi is saying is a little funny. I think the pshita is that the first aid no longer has standing. Because even if the two aidim don't count as two aidim, namely that they're psulim or anything else, it's still no worse than one.
He's going back in the first. When we believe the first eid echad, like two, it's only if it stands up against, you know, no eidim or one eid. Once two actual eidim come, then that knocks off the one, even though the one had a power of two, it's not as good as actually two. Look at Rashi again. Eid omer meis, one eid says the husband died, and you're allowed to get married. Ubo eidim, and two eidim come along, amru lo meis, he didn't die. Pshita de mode ula de lagavi trei. Chashiv Kat, that the one aid, with respect to the two actual aidim, he's now viewed as one person.
The first aid is
considered one. Ubatan, he's getting knocked out completely. V'lo Armin and Treo Treinin. We don't view him two versus two. The one aid, when you view him as two, it's only temporarily. It's only not actually as two. It's just as long as he's not being contended by two people. If it's no one, they're certainly believed one aid echad. And if it's one person, the initial one aid is going to trump the other one aid. But if two actual people come along to this one aid, we knock out this one aid. He no longer has the power of two aidim anymore. So Gemara says, Pshita, Dein Dvarav Shel Echad B'Makom Shem. It's certain that this one aid echad, the initial aid echad, has no standing in the face of two actual aidim. So that's pretty pashut. So what's the Mishnah coming to teach us then? So Gemara says, Latzricha, it's only needed in the following case, B'Psulei Eidus. When it comes to people who are apostle to Eidus, that whenever the Torah believes one aid, holach achar rov deos, vasu shtei nashim bishachar, kishnei anashim biishachar. So let's look at Rashi for a second. B'psule aidus is Rashi. Avagav the shnayim shamru lo meis nashim hayu. Even if the two people who said that the husband didn't die, they were women who were pasul aidus, hare aid rishon batel etzlan, vitzich leshminan ki haygavna. One might think, when we say that eight echads believe like two, and other two eidim come and knock them out, it's only if those two other eidim are kosher eidim. But let's say that psule eidim, such as nashim, maybe those psule eidim shouldn't be believed, comes the Mishnah to tell us any two people, it could be two women, it could be two ganavim, two anything, they can knock out this one eidim. So that's what the Gemara says. Read that again inside. Tani Rabbi Nechemi Omer, kol makum sheminu Torah eid echad. Whenever we believe one eid echad, in the case, let's say, of here, where the Eid Echad says that the husband died, where we believe him, halach acharov deos, if there is more people against, the amount of people against what he says, it's going to trump the one Eid Echad. V'asu shtei nashim, and two women who come along and say that he didn't die, bishachad, k'nei shtei nashim bishachad. We view the two women as two men against one man, and we knock out the first Eid Echad. That's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah tells us. Ibai Zema, alternatively, the Chiddush of the Mishnah could be, whenever one aid echad, a good kasher aid echad, comes initially, even if 100 women come along afterwards, they're all viewed as one aid echad.
So if so, why do these two knock the person out?
So Ella says the Gemara, kigon da'asa isha meikara v'tiratza l'Rabbi Nechemia. So it's talking about a situation where one woman came in the first place.
And then two women came. And this is how you have to take Rabbi Nechemia.
Rabbi Nechemia Omer, kol makom sheamino Torah eid echad, halach acha rov deos. Whenever the Torah believes one eid echad, we follow the majority that asu shtei nashim biisha achas kishnei nashim biisha echad. Even though initially we may have believed the one woman in the beginning, if two other women or 100 other women come, they knock out the first eight echad, just like multiple men will knock out multiple men. Aval shtei nashim biisha echad kapal gabal gadami. But if two women come, two psuli edus come to go against the one eight echad kasher, that ends up being a stalemate. Palga palga, I guess depending on what the situation is, would you leave it status quo? If they were married, stay married. If they weren't married, we don't allow them to get married. So that's a big machlokas, whether or not this, whenever we believe eight echad, a kasher eight echad, could psule edus even knock them out of the water, or only kasher edim could knock them out of the water? That's the shaila. The
we
two.
Had this before, where the Gemara gave two terutzim.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
Question with Rav Nechemia and two studen to learn Rav Nechemia.
It seems like it's the Gemara in Pechas, not too long ago. But okay. Right. Okay. The Gemara now says, Shnaim Omer Meis. So the last case of the Mishnah was where two people said that he died, and one aide said he doesn't die. He didn't die. So even though she may not have gotten married yet, she's allowed to lichachila get married because the two aidim win. My Kamashwan, this is pretty obvious. The two aidim are going to trump the one aide. Gemara says, B'psuli aidis uch de Rebbe Nechemia. Da'aza basa rov deos. So we just to see what we follow is talking about all psuli edus, where two women say that he died, one woman says he didn't die. We trust the majority of women. Gemara says that's what we said above. That's the previous stage of the Mishnah. Hainu hach. Gemara says ma'u deseima ki yaslin basa rov deos l'chumra. Maybe only l'chumra do we follow rov deos that we don't allow them to get married or we force them to get divorced, but to permit them to get married, maybe we shouldn't follow rov deos psuli edus in that case. Aval kula lo k'mash malam. We learn from this Mishnah that rov deus l'kula also we're going to allow.
And we'll allow them l'chachila to get married.
L'chachila, exactly. We allow them to get married. Okay, should we do this first Mishnah? This Mishnah to go on to the next page, or should you do it, or we'll be taking away?
That's the next plot.
Next Amud Beis looks a little bit wide, but it's actually, I think, a pretty easy daf, just looking at it. Yeah, it's a pretty easy daf. So we could hold, it's early, but... Requests, suggestions.
Right.
Okay.
How are you going to balance the